Today's a WRL weather alert day. We have a level one risk for severe storms across our area. I'll show you what time those could start where you are.
Also, we're back in Johnston County pressing for answers about a standoff involving a man who barricaded himself inside a home with a woman and two children. What we've learned in the last hour.
Plus, we're less than 24 hours away from a historic hearing against former President Donald Trump. What officials in Miami are doing to prevent protests from turning into a repeat of January 6th.
Well, today is a WRL weather alert day. Severe storms are more likely to start around 4 or 5 o'clock this evening and move out of our viewing area around 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ken Smith for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center to explain the impacts hour by hour. You can see the green shaded area. This is a level one risk for severe storms. That's including our entire viewing area. Closer to the coast, it's a level two risk, which means it would be more frequent that there would be some of the storms that could produce some damaging wind. For us, isolated wind damage, some heavy rain with the storms developing, and some isolated instances of hail are likely. So we take a look at what's happening right now. We did have some showers this morning. You may or may not have seen any of those, but that last little bit of rain is pulling out through Mecklenburg County, Virginia right now and out of the viewing area. Everything else is nice and quiet. We'll zoom in and you can see again that pulling out of Henderson up towards South Hill. We take a look at Futurecast and we'll likely start to see some of the showers and thunderstorms now to our west as a cold front moves in. Those are going to start to pop up around 3 to 4 o'clock. You can see a few of those up around Durham, Roxborough, South Hill at 4 o'clock. We continue to push this ahead at 5 o'clock. It looks fairly quiet, but certainly there could be some scattered storms popping up. Here's 6 p.m. Once we get past 7, it's more likely to be Rocky Mount, Raleigh, Southern Pines, south and east, where we have the potential for thunderstorms. You can see that at 8 p.m. and by 9 o'clock, it's out. And so it's really going to be from maybe 5 to 8 o'clock that we'll have the best chance of any strong to severe thunderstorms, and those should mostly be from the Triangle area south and east. Here's a live look at downtown Raleigh. Right now, it looks fairly cloudy, but we'll take a look at our high-resolution satellite. There's definitely more cloud cover east of Raleigh, a number of holes in the clouds from Raleigh westward. Where we see the holes in the clouds, that tends to destabilize the atmosphere and give us an even better chance for storms to develop during the afternoon. This afternoon, not as hot as yesterday. We'll see highs in the mid-80s, and then, of course, we'll be dealing with those scattered thunderstorms during the evening. Behind this front, it looks pretty nice for us on Tuesday. I'll show you how much the humidity will drop coming up.
We're following breaking news out of Durham, where a bomb threat has been called in to the Durham County Courthouse. This is the second threat at the facility in just over 2 weeks. The call came in around 10:30 this morning. No word on whether a device was found. No bomb was found in last month's threat.
Well, WRL is pressing for answers from law enforcement in the Johnston County community of Kenley today. Witnesses say a man barricaded himself and fired dozens of shots at a home on South Wilson Street early Sunday morning. WRL's Keenan Willard is live outside that home with the questions we're putting to investigators. Keenan.
Ken, we still have many of them. We still don't have a full understanding from law enforcement of what exactly took place at this home early Sunday morning. We know that the call came in around 12:30 a.m. when a neighbor heard gunshots fired, but we are still pressing to find out what exactly took place. The full rundown here. Kenley Police Department came out here around 12:30 Sunday morning for shots fired. A neighbor said that he heard what sounded like a sidearm or a pistol being fired a few times. Witnesses say officers argued with a man inside the home to leave or at least let his wife and children out, but he barricaded himself inside. Neighbors say they then heard more than 20 gunshots total coming from the home, and an ambulance later left with sirens on. We reached out to Kenley Police to ask if anyone was shot inside of this home and if a KPD officer fired their weapon or shot someone in this situation. The police chief only says this is an ongoing investigation and they have no update for us at this time. In the hours ahead, we are trying to speak with people in this community, reaching out to the family here at the home, trying to get more information about what exactly took place. But we also reached out to the SBI, which had investigators on scene here at the home. We asked if they are investigating this as an officer involved shooting, and we are still waiting to hear back at this time. Ken.
Keenan Miller live in Kenley this afternoon. Keenan, thanks. Well, safety concerns are growing near Glenwood South in Raleigh after shooting sent three people to the hospital. This happened early yesterday morning on West North Street. Officers say three men were hurt, two are expected to survive, another has serious injuries. Last year, police reported an uptick in gun and drug-related crimes around Glenwood South. Raleigh police have not said what led up to that latest shooting or if any arrests have been made.
And it's happening right now in the WRAL Live Center. We're following some breaking news out of Chatham County. A silver alert has been issued for this man. This is Douglas Whipple. He was reported missing by his wife on Sunday night at 9 p.m. He does have dementia and is hearing impaired. He was last seen driving this car to McDonald's in North Chatham Village. This is a 2012 Toyota Prius with the license plate FCR8374. They're asking anyone with any information on where Douglas may be to call the Chatham County Police Department. Preparations are underway for a historic court hearing. Donald Trump is set to become the first former president to be arraigned on federal charges when he appears at the federal courthouse in Miami tomorrow. NBC's Garrett Haig has the story.
Security ramping up this morning outside the Miami federal courthouse, with preparations underway for tomorrow's arraignment of the highest profile federal criminal defendant in history, former President Donald Trump. On the campaign trail this weekend, Mr. Trump raging against what he called his politicized prosecution.
This vicious persecution is a travesty of justice. Biden is trying to jail his leading political opponent.
And the man leading it, special counsel Jack Smith.
You have this maniac. I call him a deranged person, Jack Smith.
Smith has said no one is above the law.
We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone.
Law enforcement officials tell NBC News they're concerned that Mr. Trump's rhetoric heightens the risk that extremists could try to disrupt the proceedings. But as of now, there is no evidence on social media of January 6th style planning for violence. Mr. Trump urging supporters.
They have to go out and they have to protest peacefully.
The 37-count indictment unsealed Friday accuses Mr. Trump of illegally taking classified national security documents with him to Mar-a-Lago when he left the White House, storing them in unsecured boxes stashed in a bathroom and on a ballroom stage, sometimes showing them off. Then, even after receiving a subpoena from the FBI, conspiring with an aide to hide them from investigators. According to the indictment, the classified material included information about weapons capabilities of the U.S. and foreign countries, U.S. nuclear programs, and potential U.S. military vulnerabilities. Mr. Trump also lashing out at former Attorney General Bill Barr, who said this weekend that the charges are serious.
If even half of it is true, then he's toast. It's a very detailed indictment. And it's very, very damning.
The former president calling his former attorney general a, quote, gutless pig on social media and saying his comments are misinformation. For now, Republican allies and rivals alike are largely standing by the party's 2024 presidential frontrunner.
You can't have one faction of society weaponizing the power of the state against factions that it doesn't like.
That was Garrett Haig reporting. Trump vows to stay in the 2024 presidential race, even if convicted.
Well, federal authorities plan to launch an investigation into the death of Unabomber Ted Kaczynski. Kaczynski died in his prison cell this weekend at the Federal Medical Center in Butner. But the Justice Department did not say how he died. Kaczynski had been serving an 8 life sentences. He pleaded guilty in 1998 to sending mail bombs that killed 3 people and wounded 23 others from 1978 to 1975. Following some breaking news this noon hour, J.P. Morgan Chase settling with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. It comes after depositions by top executives revealed embarrassing disclosures about the bank's longstanding relationship with Mr. Epstein. In that lawsuit, victims accused the bank of enabling the sex trafficking operation by allowing for massive withdrawals of cash over a 15-year period. A different case brought by the U.S. Virgin Islands remains unresolved. A statement about the deal did not disclose a settlement amount.
It's a big day for our college athletes. They're part of a new celebration at the White House. WRAL's Brian Schrader has been monitoring this first-of-its-kind event. Brian.
Renee, it's called College Athlete Day, and for the first time, the White House is hosting 47 teams from 19 sports across all 3 NCAA divisions, and they are celebrating their victories over the past year. And that includes student athletes from right here in the Triangle. In the past hour, UNC Chapel Hill sent this video of the field hockey and women's tennis teams at the White House this morning. The field hockey team won the 2022 national championship against Northwestern last November, and the women's tennis team won the 2023 NCAA championship last month, beating NC State. Well, this morning, Vice President Kamala Harris celebrated the commitment that college athletes show.
You are leaders. You are role models. And of course, you are champions.
We were expecting President Biden to be a part of this event, but we learned this morning that he woke up with some pain from a root canal that he had yesterday, and doctors at the White House were planning to complete that root canal today, so he was not able to attend the celebration this morning. But what a nice way to honor some really spectacular young people.
Absolutely, because in the past, it's always been the basketball or football national champions going to the White House, and now all these student athletes who are national champions get to have that as well. Brian, thanks. Well, the list of this year's All-America City Award winners is out, and three of them are here in North Carolina. This year's list includes Fayetteville, Charlotte, and Davie County. The finalists were chosen based on a number of factors, including public health, social justice, and racial equality. By the way, this is the fourth time Fayetteville has won the coveted title.
Well, summer camps start today in Raleigh, many of them already underway. Spots are still open at some programs, even as the city deals with a staffing shortage. Well, WRL's Laura Levine explains the need for more staff could affect some camps and operations at some public pools.
Summer camps here in Raleigh are welcoming hundreds of kids back today at places like Chavis Park here behind me, and pools are back open 7 days a week. This time last year, some public pools were closed because of staffing shortages. The Parks and Rec Department was able to increase staffing this year by offering higher part-time salaries and by boosting recruitment efforts. We're told there's now employees enough to open all pools, but some facilities may still operate under limited capacity. There's still a need of about 30 more lifeguards, a dozen cashiers, and about eight more managers.
We're trying to basically rebuild to what we were in 2019, and it's taking some time, but we are moving in the right direction, and we're very happy about that. We have all our facilities open, and we're going to do everything we can to continue that. There just may be times that it's not quite 100%.
The good news, he says, that now that school is out for the summer, they are beginning to see more young people apply for these jobs. That's ranging from $11 an hour to $16 an hour. Laura Levine, WREO News in Raleigh.
Next at noon, a miraculous rescue. How a 13-year-old child was able to keep herself and her siblings alive for 40 days in the Amazon jungle.
Also, an epic travel itinerary, a grandson's loving gift to his grandmother, and how the two made history palling around the country.
And a tank of fire leads to this portion of I-95 crumbling in Philadelphia. How long it could take to repair that bridge as summer road trips kick into high gear.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
We have an update to an amazing story of survival we've been covering since last night. Marissa Parra has new information about how four children survived a plane crash and then survived 40 days alone in the Amazon jungle.
It's the dramatic rescue that has captured the world. Four small children found deep in the Amazon jungle, their survival after 40 days, nothing short of a miracle. And tonight, new details on how they stayed alive. The children, members of an indigenous tribe, had been living off the forest. Their grandmother explains that the eldest child, just 13 years old, had always taken care of her siblings, including the youngest with them, just 11 months old. She found cassava flour from the wreckage to eat, along with fruits and seeds. Her grandmother says the young girl knew which ones were safe to eat. Photos taken by the search team show fruit half eaten, which along with footprints, a baby bottle, and tiny shoes left behind, helped lead them to the survivors. Their father calling it a miracle of God. The children had been missing since May 1st when their plane crashed, killing three adults on board, including their mother. Together, members of the Huitoto tribe joined the Colombian military, searching over 1,600 miles through thick rainforest and jungle rivers, never giving up until the children were found alive. The race to find them is now a race to get them healthy. But the hospital's general director gives signs of hope, saying they speak little and are weak. But some of the children were playing today, and we know that when a child plays, it feels good. Let's give them some time. Those tiny footprints they left in the Amazon have now left a big impression on hearts around the world. Marissa Parra, NBC News.
Just 13 years old, amazing. Well, more than 100 Colombian special troops and more than 70 indigenous scouts combed the deep forest, including a search dog named Wilson. The four were eventually found in an area clear of trees. Now, the Belgian shepherd disappeared on May 18th. The children told authorities they spent 3 to 4 days with Wilson before he disappeared again. Crews are still searching for Wilson.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center this afternoon, we are learning that Fox News has sent Tucker Carlson a cease and desist letter over his new Twitter show, alleging that the conservative network's former anchor breached his contract by launching that new show on Twitter. The first installment of his show, Tucker on Twitter, debuted on June 6th. Carlson did part ways with Fox News in April, days after they agreed to pay $800 million to Dominion Voting Systems to avert a high-stakes defamation trial. But Fox is now saying that Tucker Carlson must be silent until after the 2024 election. Lawyers for Tucker Carlson are saying he will not stay silent. Michelle, thanks. It has been 7 years since a gunman walked into an Orlando nightclub and opened fire. 49 people were killed on Latin night at The Pulse, a popular gay club. This year, the annual commemoration memorial to the victims will be held indoors due to security concerns. The remembrance begins at 7 tonight. Remembering Tyre Nichols, family, friends, and community leaders are honoring him Sunday by renaming a Sacramento skate park after him. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held to mark the renaming ceremony. Nichols died after being severely beaten by Memphis police officers during a traffic stop in January. He grew up in Sacramento, and this park is where he developed his love of skateboarding and built strong friendships. Not only is the park getting a new name, volunteers helped renovate the park in his honor.
Well, talk about an epic journey. A grandmother and her grandson visited all 63 national parks. Joy and Brad Ryan just completed their goal. The 93-year-old grandmother made history as the oldest living person to visit every U.S. national park. Brad, of course, documented their travels on social media, ending with their visit to American Samoa, the best place to conclude this epic chapter of Grandma Joy's road trip.
Bears have different personalities. Some of them are very nice and some aren't very nice, just like people.
When we were in Colorado, we hiked across the Great Sand Dunes. And when we got to the top, that was when Grandma Joy decided that she wanted to roll down the sand dune.
This is so great.
Oh my God, I love Grandma Joy doing her thing, yes. Rolling down the sand dunes. Well, listen, this journey took them 7.5 years. The Park Service honored the pair with certificates and a number of other gifts. Oh, love Grandma Joy.
What a special bond they have in creating those kinds of memories. And you know what kicked off their taste for travel was the first park they ever visited was Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Yeah.
And then after that, they did a GoFundMe page to raise money for all those other trips.
So
and Grandma's living life.
And she said she regretted not traveling when she was younger. So what a gift for that grandson to his grandmother, right? Let's bring in meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here in the WRL Severe Weather Center. You're tracking our Severe Weather Alert Day.
I'm dreaming of national parks. What are you talking about? Same here. That is the best story. I loved watching her roll down that hill. It's so awesome. 93 years old. We can talk about that because everything's nice and quiet on the radar right now. And that may not be the case a little bit later on this afternoon. A Jill Doppler 5000 radar will zoom in again up to the north. We checked on this just about 10, 15 minutes or so ago. We had this little shower rolling through South Hill. It has now moved out of Mecklenburg County, Virginia, almost. And that's going to be it for a little while. Of course, we do have a WREL Weather Alert Day. We're under a level one risk for severe storms in our area. And then closer to the coast, it's a level two risk. That just means that those storms that could produce wind damage may be more frequent. Damaging winds, heavy rain, hail are all things that we could see this afternoon. We'll take a look at Futurecast. And all is quiet right now. Notice that by the time we get to 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock, we start to see a few isolated storms maybe popping up to the north between South Hill and Durham and Southern Pines. Then as we move through the evening, that chance will slide eastward and really out of the viewing area by about 9 p.m. And it's really going to be between about 4, 5, and 9 that we'll have the best chance of seeing strong to severe storms, especially from the Triangle area south and east. So if you're in Durham, Raleigh, Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, Clinton, Fayetteville, Southern Pines, you'll have a better chance of seeing some of those storms. If you're along the northern part of the viewing area, you're not as likely to see them. So we have evening storms in our forecast, likely from around 4 to around 9. Once this front moves south of us, we're turning really comfortable. Less humid, nice and dry. Tuesday looks like the best day of the week to get outside. End of the week, we have heat building. We're back into the low 90s. We had our first 90-degree day, of course, yesterday when we hit 91 officially at RDU. The clouds look pretty ominous here in Durham right now, but there's no rain falling out of them currently. Of course, we're likely to see that by mid to late afternoon. 79 is our current temperature, and our dew point's way up at 67. That number is fairly high compared to what we've seen lately. Our highs this afternoon, mid-80s in Durham and Raleigh, 89 in Fayetteville, with that chance of scattered storms later on. And then here's that muggy meter. We're looking at steamy right now, with that number at 67. We really, for so much of this month so far, and even into May, we were comfy to refreshing. So, we knew we were living on borrowed time. It is time. Actually, this front's going to move southward and deliver some drier air. So we do have lower humidity for tomorrow. We're going to see the dew points back into the 50s, which feels very comfortable. But after that, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's back into the low 60s, which isn't terrible. It's not that super muggy, oppressive feel that we see sometimes in July and August. We won't see that this week, but it is going to be hotter, looking at 91 on Friday, 90 on Saturday. We do have a small chance of a shower or thunderstorm on Wednesday. We'll walk through Wednesday for you coming up. It looks like we could also see a storm for Father's Day.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, you might notice bumpier plane rides, and climate change is playing a partial role in that. Tonight at 5, WREL climate reporter Liz McLaughlin explains how warmer air temperatures increase the risk of turbulence and the safety risks that come with it.
Then at 6, overnight parking fines could jump from $30 to $200 in Glenwood South. Matt Tallham explains what City Council is hoping to accomplish by increasing those fees. But our new news continues now. In the future, the price you see for airline tickets may not be the price you pay. The action being considered on Capitol Hill that has some consumer groups not very happy.
Plus, if the $3,500 price tag for the new Apple VR headset is out of reach, you might be in luck. How the company could make the device more affordable for everyone. Welcome back. You're looking at a mix of sun and clouds at Carolina Beach. It looks nice now, but our coast is under a level 2 risk for severe weather. Our viewing area under a level 1 risk. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. An Obama-era rule requiring airlines to advertise the full price of their flights up front could be removed. A House committee unveiled a proposal that would allow airlines to advertise the base airfare of their flight, which does not include taxes or fees. The change would require airlines to disclose the total price of the flight in some other way. Consumer advocates say if this proposal goes into effect, it would create less transparency when you book flights in the future.
A new fashion trend is on the rise, but it comes with a hefty price tag. Shoppers who can't afford the high price tags are finding ways to replicate expensive looks. Quiet luxury, also known as stealth wealth, is all about high quality clothing. The trend means doing away with logos and buying expensive materials in neutral tones that give a sophisticated look. Well, Apple is still aiming to release a more affordable version of the new Vision Pro headset by the end of 2025. The device that was announced last week is expected to be released next year for a whopping $3,500. Now, to cut costs, Apple could use a lower quality screen, a lower spec processor, and a smaller number of cameras and sensors. It may even push customers to use their own AirPods for audio, knocking several hundred dollars off the price.
Federal investigators are headed to Philadelphia to investigate this highway collapse. An update on the search for a missing driver.
Also, one in four households experience energy insecurity, and health experts are concerned. Coming up, we'll tell you some tricks to lower the energy bills and stay cool this summer. And as we head to break, check out your screen, your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WREL News. Coverage you can count on.
Now to the terrifying collapse on I-95 just outside Philadelphia. Investigators are on site after a tanker fire triggered a massive collapse Sunday, shutting down the highway and causing a travel nightmare. NBC's Emily Ikeda shares one man's close call with death.
This morning, a disastrous scene of buckled concrete and steel on I-95.
Something is ignited.
After this elevated northbound section of highway completely collapsed early Sunday, when authorities say a tanker carrying 8,500 gallons of a petroleum-based product burst into flames below.
I smelled smoke. It smelled like gasoline, actually.
Drivers navigating through massive plumes of smoke billowing into the skies before fire and rescue teams rushing to the scene and the highway shutting down in both directions.
We had a lot of heat and heavy fire underneath the underpass.
Mark Fusetti was heading south on I-95 when the northbound lanes began to buckle.
I hit a bump, went down. My son went on the phone and saw that right where we were, it collapsed. So, you know, I started counting my lucky stars at that moment. Couldn't believe it.
There are no reported injuries or deaths from the terrifying incident, say officials, though at least one vehicle remains trapped under the roadway. Authorities are investigating the cause and have not released details on the tanker owner or its driver.
Once we get things moved and everything, we'll get to the scene of fire.
I-95 runs up the East Coast from Florida all the way to Maine. And this heavily trafficked urban section is critical for daily commuters and interstate commerce, typically carrying 160,000 vehicles a day. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says repairs will begin immediately, but could take months.
Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has made it clear that whatever resources would be needed to rebuild I-95 and to do so in a safe and expeditious manner would be provided to us.
That was Emily Ketta reporting. Police say the truck driver was an experienced driver.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Orange counties. The Fayetteville bus system, FAST, will begin requiring fares again starting July 1st. You may begin buying passes today. FAST stopped requiring tickets in 2020 because of the COVID pandemic. Now, you can buy passes at the Transit Center on Franklin Street, and make sure you have these ahead of time as operators can't make change. City employees can still ride for free by showing their badge. In Orange County, a special graduation ceremony for an East Chapel Hill High School senior. School staff were surprised to learn Grace Odondi would not be attending her weekend graduation. She explained she was a Seventh-day Adventist and refrains from secular activities on the Sabbath. So the school held a ceremony for Odondi and Friday in the high school auditorium with her family and friends watching. Odondi will attend UNC in the fall.
Millions of people are struggling to pay their electricity or natural gas bills. Health officials worry those who can't pay will lose their electricity in the midst of the summer heat. Ted Lidner takes a closer look at the ongoing energy insecurity crisis and what you can do to help lower your bills.
With temperatures rising ahead of the dog days of summer, public health experts worry higher energy prices could pose health risks for people struggling to pay their electric bills.
Energy insecurity is a pervasive problem.
One in four households experience energy insecurity every year. This according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Roughly 3 million people had their electricity or natural gas shut off after missing a bill last year alone.
I think we will see this problem continue to grow. And in fact, it's going to be households that are on the margin that haven't experienced energy insecurity before that are pushed into it as their bills might rise just a little bit.
Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reveals electricity prices rose a little more than 14% between 2021 and 2022. And while prices are starting to come down, they're still higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Sanya Carley of Indiana University has been studying energy insecurity for years. Her team is revealing a new site which tracks utility disconnections, energy company and state financial assistance programs, and more, so that most at risk can understand their options.
Households that have members that have electronic medical devices, households of color, are far more likely to be energy insecure.
When people can't pay, Carley says many resort to dangerous ways to come up with money, like skipping meals. Instead, she recommends contacting your utility provider and asking for help, as well as suggesting ways to enhance your home's energy efficiency to lower your bills.
Sealing your doors, sealing those gaps in the wall, making sure that your HVAC system's working.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. The North Carolina Division of Social Services offers several energy programs. Eligibility for those programs vary. Visit their website for more information on how you can apply.
A mother of four from Fuquay Varina is struggling to pay for cancer treatment, even with a lot of help from the community. Danielle McKean is at a specialized clinic in Arizona as she battled stage four breast cancer. She's there because she says her insurance denied her access to the drug she needs. Her family is now paying out of pocket. The family set up a GoFundMe page and so far raising over $100,000. It's not enough, though, to cover the costs, but McKean says she is still grateful.
My mom said something that stuck with me, and she said very few people get to see how much they're loved in their lifetime. And I've seen so much love in the past, since December, 6 months, that I'm like, thank you, God, for loving me.
Well, if you'd like to help, we have a link to McKean's GoFundMe page on WREL.com.
A local restaurant goes up in flames, and firefighters don't think it was an accident. The fire broke out around 2:30 this morning at Fishing Pier and Seafood. Michael Grace was there at the scene on Murchison Road in Fayetteville in the WREL Breaking News Tracker.
Yeah, well, early estimations are around $75,000 worth of damage. So obviously a lot for investigators to unpack. And I want to get you to this video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker of what that scene looked like earlier this morning. You can see the entire parking lot of not only the fishing pier, but the convenience store next door blocked off with crime tape. Almost all the damage from the fire inside the building. They had the forensics unit from Fayetteville PD out here inside there taking pictures as investigators also walked around with their clipboard, taking any notes that they may need. Now, the officer I had a chance to speak with said that they do plan on releasing more information about the suspicious activity that caused this fire. That should be in a press release later today. In Fayetteville, Michael Grace, WREL News.
This afternoon, we'll find out how UNC's governing board could change to make itself more reflective of the students and the state it serves. A bipartisan commission put together by Governor Cooper will announce its recommendations. The governor tasked the commission with improving the process for choosing who leads the UNC system, following years of concern about partisan influence. However, the recommendations will likely be ignored. Only state lawmakers can change the appointment process. And the Republican leaders there have already said they have no interest in making changes.
You know, people think they would never forget their child in the car, but it happens. We'll tell you about a strategy to get you to check your backseat during these hot months.
And family and friends are supposed to be your biggest supporters, right? But hear why new research says they may be the ones to keep you from reaching your weight loss goals. As temperatures heat up, health officials are reminding parents about the dangers of leaving their child in a parked car. Nearly 40 children a year die from heat stroke after being left in a car. Experts recommend always check your back seats. Maybe leave something you need, like a cell phone or purse, in the back so you won't forget. A children's emergency doctor says if you see a child locked in a car, call 911 right away.
Call the police, call whoever you need to, get these kids out as soon as you can, and then take them to the appropriate medical facility if exhaustion and or fatigue has set in.
Experts also recommend locking your car at home so kids cannot climb into unattended vehicles.
Well, be careful of the company you keep, especially if you're trying to lose weight. A new study out of England says the people closest to you are likely the source of you packing on the pounds. Scientists say those in your relationship circle may consciously or subconsciously derail your efforts. Researchers say that's because they're threatened by change and may not welcome it. The researchers say during a weight loss journey, having a support group can be an important tool to reach goals. Well, a North Carolina native winning big at the Tonys, their message to those who felt unseen.
Plus, a trading card hasn't even been released yet, but it's already all the rave. The bounty now placed on what is expected to be a one-of-a-kind card.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Lake Gaston, a rather cloudy Lake Gaston today. And of course, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking a WREL weather alert day. She'll walk us through when and where storms could turn severe later on this afternoon. Well, the Phoenix Mercury plans to address player safety while traveling after WNBA star Brittany Griner was harassed at an airport. Griner was harassed over the weekend while at the Dallas-Fort Worth traveling airport traveling with her teammates to the game. A source familiar with the incident says she was confronted by a man who describes himself as a social media provocateur. Law enforcement tackled that man. He was reportedly yelling statements about the, quote, merchant of death. That's the nickname of the Russian prisoner who was swapped for Griner's freedom from a Russian prison. Well, another American is being held in Russia accused of running a drug dealing business. Michael Travis Leak faces more than a dozen years in a Russian prison. Leak has lived in the country for years as a rock musician and producer and has spoken against the Kremlin in the past. Pro-Russian media released a video of him in custody. It's not clear when it was taken, though.
I am not admitting to any guilt, and I do not believe that I have done what I've been accused, because I don't know what I've been accused of.
Some experts worry Leak's arrest is part of an effort to detain Americans to use as leverage as tensions soar over the war in Ukraine. Journalist Evan Guskovich has been in Russian custody since March on espionage charges that he denies.
Praise is pouring in for a Fayetteville native who just made history at the Tony Awards.
Jay Harrison G.
Jay Harrison G won Best Performance by an actor in a leading role for their performance in Broadway's Some Like It Hot. G, along with Alex Newell of Shucked, became the first non-binary performers to win Tonys for acting.
Thank you for the humanity. Thank you for my incredible company who raised me up every single day, who love me, who support me, and help me do the work that I do, and we do it together. As we say in the show, some like it hot, and that ain't bad. Honey, and that's the gospel according to Jay.
We hear you preaching. Another Fayetteville native, Natasha Yvette Williams, was also nominated. Last night's show was hosted by Raleigh's Ariana DeBose, who kicked off the show with a dance number. Now, the whole show was unscripted because of the ongoing writer's strike. As for the top awards, Best Musical went to Kimberly Akimbo and Best Play to Leopold Stadt.
North Carolina was well represented last night. For sure.
Looking forward to when these come to Raleigh or Durham or Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center to take us through the WRL Weather Alert Day. We're getting a hiatus from the rain right now.
Nothing really falling in our viewing area at the moment. We give it a couple of hours, and we are likely to see some scattered storms starting to develop as early as 2 o'clock in some spots. But for most events, it's not likely to start until much, much later in the day. We take a live look at Goldsboro, and we're seeing mostly cloudy skies here in Apex, a good bit of cloud cover. There are a few holes in the clouds, which you can see as we take a look at our Fayetteville newsroom right here on Hay Street. You can see some shadows. So that sunshine is making it through some holes in the clouds. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Chapel Hill Restaurant, looking fairly cloudy right now. But here's another look at our high-resolution satellite. The farther west you go, the more sunshine we're seeing breaking through the clouds. We still have a pretty thick cloud deck, especially from just east of Goldsboro and Fayetteville on up into the northeast. We do start to have that front moving eastward. You can see the clouds are a little thicker closer to the mountains, and that front will continue to slide eastward, bringing us that chance for scattered storms. We take a look at Dual Doppler 5000 radar right there. Is a little bit of thunder and lightning well to our west, up into Virginia, north and west of Danville. So it's a long way from us right now, but that is ahead or along that front, and that will come moving into our area. But you can see there's nothing on radar affecting us right now. Here's our front. That front's starting to move through the mountains. That front will be generating some thunderstorms. Boy, it's really kicked up a lot of strong storms right ahead of it down to the south. Those are starting to fizzle out a little bit, but we do have on that far end some severe thunderstorm warnings and watches well to our west. So here's a look at, of course, our scenario for today. We do have that level one risk for severe storms, which makes it a WRL weather alert day. Closer to the coast, it's a level two risk. Damaging wind and hail would be our biggest impact today as we see these storms developing. So you can see that line back to our west. Notice how Futurecast wants to kind of fizzle that a little bit. But at our far north and west counties, there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm around 3 or 4. At 5 o'clock, we start to see more of that shifting eastward. There's 7 o'clock from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Raleigh to Fayetteville to Clinton, seeing that line. This is where we would likely have the best chance of any severe storms, meaning wind damage or hail. Gradually, that slides east, and by 9 o'clock, it's pretty much out of the viewing area. So anytime from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we could see some scattered storms, especially in our southern and particularly southeastern counties. Here's a look at Futurecast. Once our front moves on through, this high-pressure system builds in for Tuesday. That's going to bring us a drop in humidity, some sunshine. It's going to feel nice. But then that front, this whole system, starts to lift a little farther to the the north on Wednesday, and that may bring us an isolated shower or thunderstorm down to the south. Right now, it doesn't look like we have much of a threat for severe storms. There is a level one risk right down around Wilmington, but it looks like Wednesday will not bring a lot of us showers and thunderstorms, but it'll be our next chance, so we'll be watching it closely. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, turning hotter, upper 80s to low 90s, and then we're also watching Father's Day. Right now, we have a 40% chance of some scattered storms for Father's Day, and it'll be toasty in the upper 80s.
Elizabeth, thanks. A trading card company is putting a big bounty on a one-of-a-kind card. Here's the catch. It hasn't even been released yet. The amount a lucky buyer could get if they're willing to give it up.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few headlines we're following today. Today is a WREL weather alert day because of the chance for storms. Some isolated instances of hail, heavy rain, and wind damage are possible in the Triangle. The top range for these storms is between 5 this evening and 8 tonight. Stick with the WREL Surveyor weather team on air and bring the forecast with you on the WREL weather app.
We are asking Kenley police what happened after a man barricaded himself from law enforcement. Witnesses say officers argued with the man inside to leave the home or let his wife and children out, but he barricaded himself inside. Neighbors say they then heard dozens of gunshots coming from the home. The police chief only says this is an ongoing investigation. They have no update for us at this time.
Preparations are underway for a historic court hearing. Donald Trump is set to become the first former president to be arraigned on federal charges. Trump boarded a plane in Newark, New Jersey this morning. It's taking him to Miami. The former president is set to appear at the federal courthouse in Miami tomorrow.
Sue Bird's number 10 jersey is officially retired. The WNBA star retired last fall as the all-time leader in games, minutes, and assists during a career that spanned more than two decades. She won four titles during her historic 19-season career with the Seattle Storm. The ceremony followed the Storm's 71-65 loss to the Washington Mystics.
Store owners in Japan say thieves are going to great lengths to steal Pokemon cards. Shop owners say they're losing tens of thousands of dollars. One business owner says 540 cards worth about $200,000 were stolen. Now, in one case, a man rappelled down a building, smashed through a window, and stole a Pokemon collection. Some store owners are resorting to buying safes to store their cards. On the topic of trading cards, some collectors say they're willing to pay big bucks to get their hands on a one-of-a-kind trading card. It hasn't even been released. The trading card game Magic the Gathering is releasing a new Lord of the Rings Tale of Middle-Earth expansion card pack. Only one pack contains the One Ring foil card. A card trading company has already offered $1 million to whoever finds that card by July 17th.
Quite an incentive. Our pet of the day is the runt of the litter, but with some tender, loving care, she will have a wonderful life. We're talking about Upsy. She does not have use of her front legs, but she does have her first set of wheels. Her mama beagle hound was just 32 pounds and pregnant when she was rescued. She gave birth to 9 puppies. Upsy was the smallest. A specialist says she doesn't have any other abnormalities and is thriving. Upsy is scooting and loves attention, but will need wheels for the rest of her life to stay active. Interested adopters can apply at lovemuttsrescue.org.
No, you can fall in love with that face easily.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Of course, you can get breaking news updates anytime on our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.